Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, thus, when everything existed in darkness, the Lord desired to see Himself and all that was created. Then the eyes, the illuminating God's Son, the power of vision, and the object of sight, all became manifest. Purport, the universe is by nature dense darkness, and therefore the total creation is called tamas, or darkness. The night is the real feature of the universe, for then one cannot see anything, including oneself. The Lord, out of His causeless mercy, first desired to see Himself and all the creation as well. And thus the Son became manifested. The power of vision for all living entities became possible. And the objects of vision were also manifested. This means that the whole phenomenal world became visible after the creation of the sun. And so ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Yadatmani niralokam atmanam cha didrikshata nirbhinne yakshini tasya jyotish chakshur guna graha. Thus, when everything existed in darkness, the Lord desired to see Himself in all that was created. Then the eyes, the illuminating God's Son, the power of vision, and the object of sight all became manifest. Those of us who have power of sight may tend to take our power of seeing for granted. This verse, one way to appreciate, I think, this verse, is as a reminder not to take it for granted that we can see. There are, of course, people whose sight has been lost in the course of their lives, or even are blind from birth. I knew one gentleman who had been blind from age 3. He was a professor of philosophy, and I was hired to assist him. This was many years ago, before I came to Europe, and he would have me read to him philosophy books, John Locke. And one thing that struck me about his blindness was how much he could see without his eyes. That is, in particular, his power of touch and his power of hearing. But we who have the power of sight, we tend to take for granted. When you have experience with a blind person, you come to appreciate that, oh, I have this power of sight, and this is something to be grateful for. And in particular, we can be grateful to the Lord, and more specifically, we can be grateful to the Lord for his desire to see. This verse has the word didrikshataha, out of a desire. This is a particular form of a verb, which is called the desiderative, which means expressing a desire. We have this in Atato Brahma Jignyasaha. Jignyasaha is also a desiderative. Give you a little Sanskrit grammar lesson on a Sunday morning. Desiderative. So jignyasa, the desire to know. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Hence, now, the desire to know Brahman, or out of the desire to know Brahman, we will discuss the Brahma Sutra, is also known as Vedanta Sutra. So here we have the Lord, didrikshataha, desiring to see. One may wonder about this. How is it that the Lord is desiring to see? Certainly, he always sees, and certainly that's true, but what we're getting here is a way of understanding how the creation as a whole, in relation to ourselves, is a matter of interdependence. And from this understanding of interdependence, specifically here, what's the interdependence? Well, if we want to see, we need to have the sunlight. We need to have eyes. We need to have the power of vision, because you might have eyes but not have the power of vision. Just like my blind professor, he had eyes, but he had no power of vision. And the object of vision, something to look at, has to be there as well. All of these factors are there. And this is elaborating, this section of this chapter is elaborating on a verse which you have all read, if I remember right. It's verse number 9, which is giving the general principle in a rather technical way. Is it 9? No, number 8. Okay, back to number 8. Yo adhyatmiko ayam purusha saha asav eva adidaivikaha yas tatra ubaya vicheda purushaha hi adibhautikaha. The individual person, this is talking about purusha in three different forms, so it gets technical, but bear with me, there's a point. The individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the adhyatmic person. Okay, and the individual controlling deity of the senses is called adidaivik. What is the individual controlling deity of the senses called? Adidaivik. The embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the adibhautik person. Huh? We all, what is this? Yes, the embodiment. The physical body seen on the eyeballs. That means when you look at someone else, you will see yourself mirrored in their eyes. What is that that you see? That is called the adibhautik self. Okay, right. So what is all this about? Srila Jiva Goswami is explaining in his Tattva Sandarbha, very much at the end of the Tattva Sandarbha, which the Tattva Sandarbha is what it's about. It's all about how the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate scripture. You want to know what to study of Vedic literature, or you want to know how to know anything, you want to know higher knowledge, go to the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's in a very systematic, analytical sort of process of elimination. Jiva Goswami gives us that argument in his Tattva Sandarbha. And toward the end, yes, practically at the end of the Tattva Sandarbha, he talks about this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which, at the very beginning of the chapter, what do we get? There's a list in the beginning of the 10th chapter. What is that list? Anyone remember? What's it about? What's the list of? Don't all answer at once, please. Atas sargo visargas cha sthanam poshanam utaya. Very good. You get a gold star. Yes, he's giving the list of all the subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And at the end, what is the last item of that list? Ashraya. And what does ashraya mean? Shelter. And what does shelter mean? Why shelter? What's shelter about? Shelter means there is a shelter to all of the other nine principles. And it's not what is that shelter, it's who is that shelter. And who is that shelter? Ete changsa kala pungsa. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Svayam. Krishna is that shelter. And much of what Jiva Goswami is explaining is why we should appreciate this in his Tattva Sandarbha. And in these, he goes on to explain this verse number 8 and I think also verse number 9, in which he's saying, why, what is this all about? This is all about explaining that the ashraya, to be an ashraya, has to be independent of all the others. Otherwise, not really an ashraya, not really a shelter. And how to understand that? Understand how everything that's interdependent is separate from, is dependent on the Supreme Lord. That's his argument. And then what we're getting in these verses is details about that. How does that work? So we can understand, we are seeing, those of us who are blessed that we have physical sight, until one day when we're, you know, older, we get older and older, and our sight maybe fades, and then maybe is no longer there, but now we have sight. How is it that we see, oh, there's a sun, and oh, I have eyes, and oh, I have the power of sight, and oh, I have something to look at. How wonderful. All right, so what, we may still say. And here is the sort of actual point that Jiva Goswami is giving. If there is an ultimate shelter, then what is our relation to this ultimate shelter? What do we do as a consequence? How do we respond to an ultimate shelter? We serve the ultimate shelter. So sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam, Bhaktiruta. Yes. Sarva upadi vinirmuktam. Completely free from what? From temporary designations, right? How many temporary designations that we cart around with us in the course of the day that we try to take shelter of while everyone else is also taking shelter of their temporary designations. And some of these temporary designations prevent us from relating with others, because the temporary designations can be cause of fear, of alienation. So sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam, completely near mala, free from mala, free from contamination. Hrishikena, by means of what? By means of our senses, then what? What do we do? Hrishikesha, sevanam. The sevanam, the service, is with purified senses, with ours. By means of our senses, we serve Krishna. So, with our sight, that Lord who desired to see everything enables all of us to see. Isn't that wonderful? But what is more wonderful is that then we can recognize we have a duty, and that is a wonderful duty. We can serve the Lord with our senses. Right, we know all of this. Consider now for a moment the condition. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Consider now the condition of the gopis in Vrindavan. We're going from something a bit technical here, and suddenly the Swami is talking about the gopis. How did he get there? Well, let's see if we can do this. Krishna has been called to Mathura, yes? Who has called him? Kamsa has called him, and who is fetching him? Akrura. Why is he called Akrura? Why is he called Akrura? We may well wonder why he is called Akrura, because he is very cruel. And why is he cruel? One reason the gopis give, they give several reasons. One of the reasons that he is cruel. Do you want to know? No? Okay, one of the reasons he is cruel is because he is denying them of their sight. Why is he denying the gopis of their sight? Yeah, if Krishna is going, then they have nothing more to look at. Why would you want to see anything in this world? That's their mood. That's quite something, huh? Their only desire is to see Krishna, and now Krishna is going away. So what is the purpose of their power of sight? There's no more purpose. This is their complaint. Well, okay, let's think about, okay, sevanam, rishikena rishikesa. Sevanam. What about another servant of Krishna in Vrindavan? How about Govardhan, who is sometimes identified as the Lord himself, no doubt, and he is sometimes, including by the gopis, identified as the best of devotees, right? Hantaya Madhirabala Haridasavarya. Yat Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodha Manang Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayor Yat Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandamulai. They are describing, I believe the Goswamis say it's Shrimati Radharani who is speaking this particular verse. She is glorifying Govardhan as Haridasa Varya, as the best of devotees, and then giving details about why it is that he is the best of devotees. And what I want to suggest is one way to understand or appreciate why she's appreciating that he, Govardhan, is the best of devotees is He is enlivening Krishna's senses in so many different ways. So, Hantaya Madhirabala, Haridasya Varya, Yat Rama Krishna Charana, Sparasha Pramodha. The word Sparasha, actually, it's interesting in a sort of detailed sense of the Sanskrit language. The word is Sparsha. Sparsha, you know this word. What does Sparsha mean?
Touch.
Sparsha. It's been stretched out. This word has been stretched out with one additional syllable, just so that the meter will work, so that you'll have enough enough syllables to make the meter scan, as it's called. Anyway, Sparsha Pramodha. He is thrilled, that is, Giriraj, Govardhan, is thrilled himself. His sense of touch is thrilled. How or why? What's happening on the top of Govardhan Hill? Yat Rama Krishna Sparasha Pramodha. What are Rama, what are Balarama and Krishna doing on Govardhan? They're walking, they're running, they're jumping, they might be dancing also, right? And the touch of their feet is thrilling. is thrilling, Giriraj. Yes, and also, Manang Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayorya. Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandara Kandamulai. There is water for the cows. Suyavasa, there's very sweet grass, long, sweet, rich grass for the cows, just as you have here in the summertime for the cows. Finally, they can come out. What was the date that the cows came out? Finally, huh? End of April they came out, and it's a big celebration. Why? Because the cows are so thrilled. So the cows are thrilled also on Govardhan, and what is it? Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandamulai. There are caves. And what are the caves good for? The caves, huh?
Hide and seek,
exactly. Who has played hide and seek when you were children? So, who is the primordial player of hide and seek? Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys. They're all playing hide and seek. And where are they doing this? At Govardhan. So Govardhan is providing. And then Kandamula. Kandamula are particular kinds of roots and some sort of edible. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Something which is pleasing to the taste. All of these different sensual experiences, you can say, are provided by Giriraj. And so Giriraj becomes Haridasa Varya for this reason and for so many other reasons. So like this, we can sort of reflect how such a verse, which in a sense seems like it's just giving some technicalities, is inviting us to appreciate what opportunity we have. And what is that opportunity? We have an opportunity to serve the original seer, the original Lord who sees, and he wants to see himself. What is that? He wants to see himself. Yes, who is more attractive than the Lord? And so the Lord wants to see himself. And of course, there's the pastime of him looking into the mirror or looking into the reflection in his palace and seeing himself and being astonished. But also, he wants to see himself as the devotee sees him. And therefore, the Lord appears. How? In what form does he appear? As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just think about this. The Lord himself is appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience himself as the Lord. He's coming in the form of the devotee. So that's also, we may want to say, hinted at in this verse. Now there's one more sort of suggestion I want to draw out of this, not just this verse, but this section, this chapter, and that is there is an ongoing concern amongst the devotees to establish that there is a supreme personality of Godhead. And in particular, they want to address those who would deny that there is a supreme personality of Godhead. And one sort of person who might be desiring to deny a supreme personality of Godhead come to be known as Buddhists. Ooh. And one of the principles that the Bhagavatam is emphasizing repeatedly is that there is a supreme original cause. Janmadyasya yaton vayaritaratas charte shabhinya swarat, etc., is saying there is a supreme cause, and that cause is swarat, is abhigya, is all-knowing, and is swarat, is independent. So that idea that there is a Lord and he is independent is emphasized in this chapter, as drawn out by Srila Jiva Goswami. Okay. The Buddhists have their idea of causality. What is that idea? You may say, I don't want to know. I don't want to know anything about the Buddhists. Okay. That's okay. Huh? You want to know? Who wants to know? Okay, so it's a technical term. Pratitya samutpada. The idea of what is called dependent arising. Dependent arising or, dependent arising. The idea is that there is a cause for things to be as they are. But before that, there's another cause. And before that, there's a cause of that cause. And before that, there's a cause of that cause. And it takes us into a grand circle, which they identify generally as having 12 principal aspects. And it's a grand circle. And it's describing the condition of samsara. And the condition of samsara, they say, is explained by this. And having explained this, you can understand how to get out of it by reversing it. You can reverse the system of causation. But there's no place within that, either this way circling or that way circling, for an independent cause. And so the Bhagavatam is saying there is an independent cause. And also Lord Brahma is saying, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir, Adir, Govinda, Sarva, Karana, Karanam, a cause of all causes. Now you can say that to a Buddhist, but then what's the Buddhist going to say? He says, oh, that's in your scriptures. We don't accept your scriptures. Hare Krishna. Therefore, Jiva Goswami comes back and says, well, that's too bad, because if you really want to think about how it is that you know anything, then you should understand that the best way to know anything is to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. And here's why. And he gives us the whole Tattva Sandarbha to explain why. So there you go. I wanted to highlight, this is something that the Bhagavatam is doing, is in so many ways giving arguments, and at the same time as giving arguments, it's to those who would say there is no supreme, there is no person to serve. At the same time, of course, it's urging us, yes, you have the Lord himself just waiting for you to accept your service. And when we make that service, then the Lord is thrilled. As Haridasa Varya, as the best of servants, he is thrilled when Krishna and Balaram and the gopas go running over Govardhan Hill. So we might, for today, like to remember Krishna and Balaram running and jumping and hiding on Govardhan Hill as a way of remembering the Lord, but remembering also Giriraj as best of the servants, and how we can be servants of the servants, in such ways that we can contribute to the pleasure of Rishikesha, the Lord of senses, the Lord who has senses. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. If there's any reflection on any of this, or comment, or question, yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned like Buddhists in a number of times. It's interesting that they deny Vedas, but their scriptures, their philosophy, law of karma, it's all Vedic conclusions written down. So, in one sense, you know, they don't have their own philosophy almost. So, you probably studied Buddhism, I just know a little bit, but, you know.
Say again?
Like in Buddhist scriptures, yeah. You know, there's so much descriptions from Vedas right there. So they said they rejected the Vedas, they don't accept, but yeah. Whatever they have, for example, descriptions of heaven and hell, law of karma, and even names like Yamaraj in Buddhist scriptures. So how can they say that they deny Vedas, but actually the scriptures is based on Vedas?
Well, in particular, as Srila Prabhupada says, they are rejecting the injunctive feature of the Veda, specifically the the injunction to perform sacrifice, right? And because there are Vedic injunctions to perform sacrifice, some of which are animal sacrifice. So that's rejected, and we can say, well, that's kind of not such a bad thing, is it? But as again, Prabhupada explains, it was felt to be necessary to reject the whole package because the Brahmins were saying, how can you reject sacrifice? It's in the Veda. And Veda is, you know, authority. And so essentially the response, so we understand, the response was, well, if that's the case, then we reject Veda. So that's kind of the logic. Many scholars have recognized that there's a lot of things in the Veda, but in particular in the Upanishads, which you find also in the Buddhist Pali Canon, for example. There is a lot there, but they like to say there's. It is possible that these are borrowed, but they don't want to commit themselves to say that because, as historians, they're hesitant to say which came first. Yeah. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the living entity serves Krishna either directly or indirectly.
Ah.
And I would like to understand how it is that we are actually serving within illusion in this material energy. How is it that we're actually rendering service, although it's unfavorable or unconscious?
Huh, interesting. That brings me to think about, was it 2 days ago? We had Harinam in London, downtown London, West End. Who was there for Harinam? Yes. And we see so many people, so many crowds of people. And we're thinking, oh, these fallen souls. How are they serving Krishna, right? Well, they're serving Krishna indirectly. How are they serving Krishna indirectly? Well, they're sustaining, you could say, the material world for the purposes that Krishna has the material world. And what are the purposes that he has the material world? Well, it's to fulfill the myriad desires of the living entities to enjoy or to think that they enjoy separately from Krishna. But we could say in this case of Saturday evening in downtown London on West End, they're serving a purpose of being receivers of the holy name that the devotees are spreading. And they are serving indirectly. That indirect service becomes direct service of a sort, as somehow they are touched to the point where they may say, oh, how odd, how strange, how amazing, oh, how silly, oh, they're dancing, oh, I'm also dancing. And the devotees come and they grab my hand and they swing me around and, oh, this is so wonderful. And so for a moment, in who knows how long in their lives, they become participant in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So their indirect service that led up to that moment of what we can, as devotees, see as a kind of direct service is a wonderful thing. How are people serving indirectly? It is part of the mystery, which is the way that the function of karma is going on. It is a great mystery. It is beyond the calculation of all the computers assembled together, right, to calculate how it is that one person's action in one particular moment has an effect upon that person and upon all others. It's inconceivable how the entire nature is functioning in all its complexity. The attempt is made by ecologists and biologists to understand the interactions of all of nature, but they come nowhere close to understanding that complexity. How is it that they are serving the Lord indirectly? Indeed, it is a wonder. But it is all understood. And that subject is there in the Brahma Sutras, the Vedanta Sutra. Not how so much why. That why question is always there. Why this creation? Why? So that is discussed in the Brahma Sutras. Yeah. Comments from the ladies? Anything? Shanti, shanti, shanti. Complaints? I don't see. You're pointing. Huh? Oh, Mother. Oh, you're hiding, Mother Vishak. Comments, Mother Vishak?
So many references to different shastras, bringing in quite a complex analytical verse into something relevant for us. Thank you so much.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your amazing service here. I'm amazed that you're still marching forward.
So are you. We're following you.
No, it's so wonderful what's happening here. Good. So I wish you all a wonderful day today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Goti Vaishnavarinda ki. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.